Continue over here. Where are we up to? Yeah, okay, so the Gemara on, let's start the Gemara on Chaf Ches Amin Alf. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan Avos Libonim Ubonim Le'Avos. Right? So far we have that Avos can't be made Libonim. Rashi, that means Reuven Leben Shimon. Got it? That's the important part. That Reuven can't be made for his brother's son. Right? Dahainu Achi Aviv. Because Reuven is Shimon's son. To Shimon's son is his father's brother.
Right?
Uncle and nephew. Right? Because we're saying they're Avos and they're brothers. And they can't be made to on each other's sons. And now the Gemara says, "V'kol shekein avos lehadadi ubonim." Oh, v'kol shekein avos lehadadi. So what do we have so far? We have avos lebonim, and bonim leavos, because that's open. That's the pasuk.
We have brothers, sons, and nephews.
That's the kol shekein to say that. Obviously, then the brothers to themselves.
Obviously the brothers to themselves. Why? Deha bonim mikoach didhu ka'osu. Where are the banim included? How are the banim included? How is the nephew included to be puzzled to the uncle? Through the fathers, through the relationship of brothers. So the relationship of brothers is what creates the soul of uncles and nephews, right? So if uncles and nephews are puzzled to each other, then certainly brothers themselves, that's the substratum of uncles and nephews. V'im itu lehu mehaikra. Yeah. Achiv ubino ve'achi aviv. So from this pasuk, you'll exclude brothers, son, and uncle. Right? And nephew. Now, but what don't you have? Bonim libonim minolan. But what about brother? What about sons to each other? Meaning what? Cousins. There you go. What about cousins? Diketani masnisin ben achi aviv pasul lo. So the Mishnah says your cousin is pasul to you. How do you know that? All you get from the Mishnah, it's from the pasuk itself, is brothers and their children. Apostle to each other. So the children can't be made for the uncle. The uncle can't be made for the nephew. And Kol Shekein, the brothers can't be made for each other because they are the relationship. They're the glue. They're the glue that makes the whole thing work. But what about cousins? Cousins are not as related as cousins are not included. They're not mentioned. So what does the pasuk say? What does it say? Im Cain, if cousins were kosher to each other, lichtov kra lo yumasu avos al bain. My bonim, dafilu bonim lehadadi. What does that mean? Right? The kevin dechsiv, Rashi says, the kevin dechsiv avos. Shnei achim mashma. Since it says avos, we know it's brothers. V'al habein havi mashma b'no shall kol echad ve'echad havi posel l'shneim. So if the pasuk is only coming to teach you that your brother's son is posel to you,
you just know your nephew.
It should just say lo yumasu ha'avos al bein. Avos means they're brothers. And it means either one of the sons can't be made for either one of the brothers. So that would be a nephew. So why does it say lo yusu avos al bonim? The bonim is a riboy. To say even the bonim to each other. Okay, but this is something we can stop on, right? This is the havamina that what? This is the possibility that what? That only that the cousins would not be possible to each other, yeah. Only to the uncle, but not to the nephew. Can we Can we say anything about this, or is just could have been that way? Could have been this way.
Just is. I mean.
Just is. Is there a difference? Is there a difference in the way it is? I mean, is there a difference in idea, or is just, well, you have to stop somewhere, you have to include someone. Is there a difference if we say that only the uncles would apostle, or the cousins also? Let me just, why would I say the cousins should be apostle to each other, or why would I say they shouldn't be apostle to each other? I mean, the pasuk the psukim are sort of telling you which idea is right. Which way of thinking about things is right? That's our postulate here. Okay, so in other words, there is a way to think about the psul of relatives to say that cousins are kosher to each other, and there's a way to think about it that cousins are pusul to each other. And the pasuk is telling us which one it is. But in terms of the psul of krovim, What would be the difference between an idea of the psul of krovim that would include the cousins or not include the cousins?
So I don't understand
my challenge. In other words, we're saying that the pasuk is not just arbitrarily picking people, right? If it was some arbitrary pick of people, then you wouldn't be able to exclude brothers. You wouldn't be able to say kolshkin brothers apostle to each other. Right. The fact that we say Kol Shekin brothers apostle to each other shows that it's working on some sort of an idea of relatedness. That's how you can have a Kol Shekin. So if you're apostle to your uncle, then certainly your brother is apostle to his a brother is apostle, your father is apostle to his brother, because you're only related to your uncle via your father. But that means to say that there's an idea, there's a certain concept of relatedness that we're operating with. And since I'm apostle to my uncle because of my relatedness to him, my proximity to him, and my father is of a closer proximity, then I can say Kol Shekin, right? But now that means to say, though, every time we're adding another character, another individual to our set, right, we're changing somewhat or somehow affecting the idea of what we mean by relationship. So there's an idea of relationship of krovim that includes cousin and excludes cousin. And we just want to know if we can get some idea about that. Okay. Now, is Yonah's correct? There is a havamina about the psul of krovim at all, right? But in that sense, I would say it's harder to get the maskana in that one. Because the havamina, you're right. The havamina is that... that there shouldn't be any psul of krovim, because there's nothing demonstrable about the fact that I'm related to the person that I won't be a good witness. Right. The havamina would be you'd have to employ some objective standard of showing that the person is a psul aid. Relatedness doesn't. Enter into the credibility of somebody. They have to say a person is a Russia. So you're right. Without including this new idea of krovim, you wouldn't say that that someone is puzzled to be an aide unless he falls under the category of an intrinsic person who's not capable of giving testimony, an eved, a Russia, something like that. But what exactly is the idea of the psul of krovim? That I think we have to wait until we get till. A little further, but in terms of postulating an idea of relatedness knocking you out, we're working more on that point. What is the different ideas of relatedness? In other words, the havamina would be that there's really only relationships to individuals. Okay, so I'm related to my father. But how does my uncle get pulled into it? Via the relationship to my father. Okay. Now, is the related, since his brother is a part of his identity, so then the brother gets pulled in via the individual of the father. Okay. But you don't have a, I mean, for lack of a better term, like an accident of an accident. You know what I mean? So the father is essential, and then you can look at his essential his characteristics. His brother, in the sense of Krovim, is an actual relationship, is a direct relative of his. So that becomes to you like a secondary type of a relationship. But you can't keep going. You don't go further than that. It's the primary and then the secondary, for lack of a better term. Okay, but that would be in terms of, that would get you to uncle or to nephew, right? So where does cousin come in? Okay, wait a minute. In terms of the maskana, we'll come back to that in a minute. In terms of the maskana, what would you say? In terms of the maskana, what would you say? How do you include cousin?
Other people.
Well, let's just stake it from a similar. The word karov means close, right? So there are certain people who, by definition, are close to you, meaning to say that you and they come from a common source. Right? Related means close also. All mean the same thing. Right?
Connected
in some way.
Should be everyone in theory.
Everyone in theory is connected somehow.
Right?
It's just degrees, correct.
That's
what it is. Right. So it's interesting. I mean, just to think about it, like you said, everybody is can trace themselves back to a common origin with anybody else if you go back far enough, right? But there's a different quality. There's a certain different quality that emerges from the quantity, so to speak, right? In other words, the relationship between me and my sibling versus me and anyone in this room is just how many more steps I'm going to take. It's a quantitative amount of steps I have to take to get to a common ancestor, right? But there's a certain human phenomenon that we recognize that at a certain point that quantity creates a quality, right? And you see, like the Shvatim, at a certain point that we go back to the Shvatim and we say all of these people are part of a family. These families are part of a Shevet. Shvatim are part of a bigger unit. But we do divide into units based on something that we're trying to define over here. Now, we could say the steps is sort of the that's like the measurement, but there's something that we say is different between one step, two steps, three steps, 10 steps. Okay, so the idea we were trying to express before is like this, that we'll say, let's say we're trying to express an idea of a direct relationship, right? And then a relationship to the one that person is directly related to as well. Right, Yona? That's what we were working on before? No, that would include uncle. Yeah. So let's put it like this then. In other words, okay, Aryeh is correct though, that really there was a first Havamina only father and son. That's a possibility, because when Rashi was explaining on Chav Zayin Amud Beis that we're looking for the closest relationship, so we exclude father and son because it doesn't work out in the pshat. Right? But so then we move because of the pshat to brothers, and then we build up this idea of uncles and nephews, okay. But what's the first point from father and son to brothers? So I would say like this: father and son means that in reality, you are joined, meaning to say. They are, in reality, in a certain sense, guf echad, because it's the progeny of one is the progeny of the other. Okay, one is the creation of the other. There's an intrinsic relationship in terms of reproduction itself. Okay, the child is the product of the parent. So that really is gufo in a certain sense. That is the closest relationship because it partakes of gufo. Is that clear? Matt?
Kind of.
Acceptable? It is the relationship. It is the reality. It's a reality. It's yotze yerech. It's in reality, this person emerged from the other person. Okay? That's like a reality of Krovim. Okay? How is a... it can't be... I mean, a child emerges from the guf of another person. Then the one time you could say they were big guf echad in a certain sense. So that's definitely a relationship. That's like an intrinsic factual type of a relationship. Okay?
One is a necessary existence of the other.
But, good, are we good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. But brothers is already a qualitative different idea. Brothers is now saying that relationship is not just based on the intrinsic reality of one to the other, but there's a mechanism of relatedness. There's a halachic mechanism of relatedness. In other words, what I'm trying to explain to you is like this. There's sort of like an empirical idea of relationships, and then there's sort of an intellectual, conceptual idea of relationships. Sort of like a factual idea of relationship, and then like a legal idea of relationship. Okay? Father and son would be like the factual relationship, because it's just physically true. One emerged from the other. Okay? So if I would say relationship, the very first idea I'd have to go with is product. That would be father-son. Good? But the Torah starts with brothers. Why? Because that's introducing a legal idea of relationship. That if we can find that there's a mechanism that we can deem people related by, it doesn't have to be via the physical progeny. So brothers is introducing a concept already of relationship. And it's elevating above the relationship of father and son, which is a physical relationship, to a conceptual idea that come from the same source. Brothers are not genetically speaking, they may share material, but they're not. Neither one is considered the source of the other. But they both came from the same. They both came from this from a common source. So that's already a conceptual idea of relationship. Okay. So that's the step of brothers. Now, why would that include? Now, what about uncles? What about uncles? So this is what we was trying to say before, what Yona was saying also. That uncles is saying, the step of uncles is telling you that what? Let me add something to the mix over here. It's something we need. Right? There's a missing ingredient. I think that's what's bothering Matt. And I think it's what we were mentioning before. And that is that in this study, quantity is quality. Okay. What do we mean by that? Right? We mean by that is that you can't equate that although the difference between my relationship to my brother, my first cousins, second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, fifth cousins, and so on, is how many steps I have to go back to find a common source, right? The very idea of Krovim insists or the very idea of a psul of krovim, insists on stopping at some point, right? Otherwise, everybody is a krov to everybody. So the breaking down into families insists on imposing some idea that at some point quantity is quality. We don't consider relatedness the same just because we employ the same mechanism of finding a common source. If one is a third degree common source and one is a first degree common source, we call that, we have a different quality to that. Okay? So therefore, it's like this. Every idea that we're applying, because the problem that we're getting, I think this is sort of the problem that we were getting before. When Yonah was expressing the idea that we were proposing some time ago, he was saying you have a relationship to a certain person, and then he has a quality of his relationships, right? So then the problem was, but that person has a quality of his relationships, and so on and so on and so on. You wind up being related to everybody again, right? But the point that we're trying to make is like this. Or take grandson, great-great-grandson, great-great-great-great-grandson, right? They're all progeny. So, but it's false. It's a false argument to say that if we're saying progeny is a basic relationship, father to son, then that should include grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson, and so on and so forth. Because in all of these things, we have to do two things. We have to point out some mechanism and then say that there's a quality to a certain degree of that mechanism. Okay? So all we can say is, so just because we say progeny is a mechanism, that doesn't mean great-great-great-grandchild is included. It means that there's some quality, there's some point where that creates a quality that we call related. So therefore, it should only be limited to the immediate, in theory. Let's start with that. Okay? So that would mean that we'll have, let's say we'll have, if we combine our ideas, we'll have uncles and nephews. Because we'll have the idea, we'll say, you're related to your father by the mechanism of progeny, right? And he, as an individual, has a relationship of a different quality to his brother. Okay? So what does that have to do with you? Right? What does that have to do with you? What's that? Let me just try to put down what we're thinking about. And admittedly, it's speculative and experimental at this point. But we're trying to say it like this, that there is an idea that there were, we found two ideas of relationship, right? Father to son, which seems to be a primary type of an idea. And then the idea of brothers, which is more of a conceptual idea of coming, you're related because you have common cause, right? So we're saying like this, that your relationship to your father, that's primary. That's an intrinsic primal kind of a relationship. Okay? But what does it mean to be related to your father? So since that has to take into account who your father is. So in a conceptual sense, we say your father is intrinsically karov to his brother because they share a common source. So now we can say, by extension, you have a relationship to the uncle. Okay? By extension, you have a relationship to the uncle. But you're not going to include your uncle's qualities, the qualities of the uncle, because that's not a quality in your father. It's only the things, and because over here, quantity is quality. So you can't just go and use this argument down the line. It's not like if A is equal to B and B is equal to C. It's not like that. And C is equal to D, then A is equal to D. That's not the method over here. We're saying that you're only related to the uncle because he's a quality in the definition in your father. But the uncle's qualities are not a quality in your father. Okay? So that would stop at uncle and nephew. So what is the idea of cousins? So there's always two ways to go on this, right? You can try to add something or try to change something. So intuitively, I was thinking of changing something. I was saying, up till now, we've been discussing relationships via particular individuals. And you're going to select the basic is father to son, right? And then from the father, you'll go to the uncle with this mechanism. But there's no reality to the level to uncle. It's only via the father. So therefore, there can't be an extension of uncle. Okay? But maybe the Maskana is saying, we don't look at individuals so much, we look at family. Okay? And we say there's a generational relationship. There's a generational relationship. So you are, you have to know what type of units the Torah is thinking in, is working in. The unit of individuals. So then your uncle is only included because of your father. But if we look at it in terms of an entity of family, then you look at a generation as a unit. Yeah, so like then, levels. What's that?
Like levels. Like
levels, like we were saying, right. So then you'll say that to include cousins really means to say that we recognize levels. And now you're related to your cousins because of your relationship to the entire level of your father. You know what I mean? If you view the entire level of the father, which includes his brothers, as one unit itself, then you can include the extension of that, which would be cousins. But the mechanism we're sticking with, that you go to the unit, and then you're going to include an extension, a quality within that unit. If the unit is the father, then it can only go to the uncle. But if we look at the unit to be the family unit of your father's generation, then it would include, by extension, all of their children. Bonim. That's what it implies. They're all bonim in a certain sense. All of the cousins are bonim in the sense of a generational view. Not in the sense of an individual view.
But what's the condition in that generational? That they all have to be brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say it's like...
it's brothers.
You know, it's more than that.
Right. So then brothers is a level. Okay? So, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. Okay. The other possibility is, like Yon is working, that you can include generation, you can include progeny as equal to the... is like more of an equal. And then brothers' children are going to be like children to, going to be like brothers. All right. Okay, let's take up the next question. Okay, we'll think about this for tomorrow. Next question is like this. We'll pick up the pace a little bit. Okay? Next question is what? Now we know that banim are apostle to each other. I mean, say cousins are apostle to each other. And all of these relationships are apostle to each other. Right? Brothers, let's say. Doesn't matter, whoever you pick. Apostle to each other. Because that's what the pasuk is saying. Neither one of these can incriminate the other for death. Right? But what about testifying for others?
Together.
Where do you see that in the pasuk? Now that's clearly a completely different idea. Right? So Rami Bar Chama, yeah.
I just don't see why he's bringing this up now.
Because we know it to be true. We're trying to figure out where we get it from.
But this wasn't even brought down in the Mishnah.
It's true. The Mishnah doesn't say the consequence of being Krovim.
It doesn't seem related to what else the Gemara is talking about. Pieces of who's related to us. And
but this is a separate Braisa. It's a Tana Rabbanan. It's a Braisa. I mean, it's darshing out. It happens to be we know it from this pasuk. So, you mean the Gemara says banim? You mean banim la dadi banim la alma minolan? It's true. You're right. Ashikhan banim la dadi banim la alma minolan. You mean why is it asking that question?
Breaking it down, it keeps. So how do you know this one?
Right. What does Rashi say? Sheyehu shnayim krovim psulim lehayid al adam min hashuk. How do you know that?
So why is it?
I mean, we could have been done with our Mishnah. It's true. In terms of the Mishnah, we were done at this point. The Gemara is prodding for more information. Let's see. So, because we happen to know it's that's a psul of krovim. I mean, we happen to know krovim are psul not only to each other, but testify. That's a fact. We know that fact. The Gemara wants to know, do we know it from this pasuk, or where do we know it from? It's a different concept. To say I can't testify against or for my brother doesn't mean that we can't testify for another person. What's the difference between those two ideas? With each other. What really is the connection between those two ideas? Why should krovim? That's what the Gemara really wants to know. Is there a connection between saying krovim can't testify against each other and saying they can't testify with each other? Is there a connection between those two ideas? Yeah. Right. In other words, you can't really argue this out. There's got to be a source in the Torah for this, right? So the Torah tells you you don't have, let's say, credibility against your brother or for your brother. That doesn't mean with your brother you don't have. That's a subject matter. That's what they call subject matter jurisdiction. You don't have jurisdiction over this subject matter. Can't talk about your brother. But two brothers can talk about someone else. Why not? It has nothing to do with each other, right? So Rami Bar Chama tried to prove it from a svara. Very, very strange. Strange argument. What's his argument? He says, since we know that Edim don't become Zomim until they testify to, until they're proven to be liars together, that's why brothers can't testify together. Why? Because if you thought they could, then it turns out that one Eid Zomim is going to be killed because of his brother's testimony.
How?
De'i lav de'isid hai krovo b'hadei. If his brother hadn't testified with him, lo havi mikdal, he wouldn't have been killed. Nimtza bonim mesim ze al ze. Okay, now if you're really thinking this through carefully, like you should be, this doesn't really make all that much. There's something funny in this question.
There's another aid. I wonder if he was Zomim, he would be killed anyway.
There's something that seems extra in this thing. In other words, it doesn't need to be that they both have to be, they have to be mazim them both. It would have been enough if the halacha was you need to aid them to testify. What's the difference if you have to be mazim them both? Let's say the halacha was Edim Zomim could be convicted individually. Let's say the halacha was if I could prove one guy was lying, he will get killed and the other guy won't. Wouldn't you have the same exact argument? Because you still need Edim.
Brothers will still get killed.
Because you still need Edim.
But his one brother's testimony is not.
Oh, I mean to say, and but of, I mean to say like this. Let me back up one second. You need to Edim to have Edim Zomimim. You don't need to convict both necessarily. In other words, if one aid comes into Beis Din, hypothetically, if one aid comes, what is this Brisa saying? This Brisa is saying that unless you convict both as Edim Zomimim, neither one gets killed. Right?
If you could prove one guy lied, but the other guy was, we don't know.
Then both of them, no one would get killed. Right. But let's say the din was just that as long as you have two Edim who come in and testify about something, if you had one aid who comes in and you prove him to be a liar, that's definitely not Edim Zomim, because he didn't do anything. Okay. But let's say two Edim came in.
If he lied.
Because he couldn't create a Gemar Din. One aid doesn't create a Gemar Din. Edim Zomim have to create a Gemar Din. He wouldn't have done anything. He would be a liar. He'd have to bring a carbon. But he wouldn't get the onus of the guy because he didn't do anything. One aide walks into the basin and says, I've got testimony. They won't accept him. Mm-hmm. Right? So let's say that halacha was simply two aidim come into basin, testify, secure a gemar din against somebody, and one of them is convicted of hazama. That one gets killed. The same argument would apply.
No,
what do you mean, let's say, I don't.
Yes.
In other words, the Gemara says, Rami Bar Chama says, Svarahu. It's a Svara that the brothers can't testify together. Why? Because it says in the Braisa, Ein ha'edim na'asin zomim ad she'yazumu shneim. That two Edom won't become Zomim unless they're both made into Zomim.
Oh,
right? Ve'i salka daitach bonim la'alma ksherim. And if you're going to tell me brothers can testify together against somebody else, nimtza eid zomim ne'erag ve'edus achiv. Then it turns out each eid zomim is killed by his brother's testimony. Why, Rashi? De'ilav de'isid ha'ikrovo ba'adeh. If his brother hadn't come into Beis Din and testified with him, lo have a mikdal, he wouldn't have been killed. Why?
Because he couldn't have been a zomim.
Because he couldn't have been a zomim.
Yeah, I mean, appear to be a zomim.
That's right. So that's, but that doesn't have to do with the din of convicting them both. That has to do with the fact that he can't give edus without the other guy.
And this could be
a different
case.
Nimtza bonim mesim zal zeh.
You say, well, he couldn't found another guy?
No. He could have been, let's say, all it needs is, all the argument needs is that in order for me to be an Eid Zomim, I needed my brother's testimony.
Right.
Okay. So let's say one guy can be convicted of Eidim Zomimim without the other.
Right.
Right. But he still needs the other to testify, because otherwise he won't.
Otherwise,
it can be
testimony in the first place. But it is. He became subject to becoming Zomim and becoming death by the fact that he was testified with his brother.
No, who cares about the fact that two of them have to be killed together? Two of them have to be. All the argument relies upon is the fact that two of them have to give testimony together.
Only the one
like
his brother
lying.
Told the truth and he lied.
Yeah,
and
right.
I mean, you're saying,
what would that have to do then?
So are you saying this Bryce is just a bad support for him?
I'm saying the emphasis is not on the fact that they both have to be convicted together. Just the fact that you need two Edom in order to have Edom Zomim is the ikkar of the question. Not the fact that both of them have to be convicted together.
Here's a scenario.
Because look at Rashi. Rashi himself says it's the Edus that's the problem.
Right.
Right. Even though the Brisa is brought down, even though it seems like the proof is from the fact that Ad Sheyazumu Shneihem, it's not Ad Sheyazumu Shneihem. That's not the important point.
Right.
The important point is that you needed them both to set up Edom Zomim. And this question was bothering me. Why nobody says this, and I found it in the Tosas of Rush. He says, yeah, that's not, take a look at Tosas of Rush. He says, that's just like, they're just strengthening it, but it would have been enough just from the fact that you need two Edom to appear, even though one of them could be convicted. But the point is, this is what we call in what they call in American law, they call it the but-for causality. I must have mentioned that some other time.
Yeah.
It means, but for this fact, this would not have happened. So, but for this guy testifying, I would not have been an Eid Zomim. So that means my brother's testimony killed me. Because had he not testified, I would not be here getting killed today.
But for is not like a direct cause, but it set up the scenario in which...
Exactly, which is a very strange kind of an idea for Rami Bar Chama to say, that's why brothers can't testify. Why? Because we know that brothers can't die at each other's hands via the testimony of each other. No brother can die from the testimony of his brother. Now this guy, if he hadn't testified, would his brother be killed? No! So his testimony is killing his brother. Impossible. So Rava tears him apart.
Doesn't really seem like this.
But it's as far as saying that he's really extending the original idea. It's not far that like a new idea.
It's not a new, it's the proof. He's saying I could deduce it from the system. You want me to deduce the fact that a brother can't testify with his brother. It's because it would contradict another principle. It would contradict the principle via the mechanism of Edom. Given the din of Edom Zomimim, you can't put together all of these things and have them come out right. You can't put together the din that a brother can't die from his brother's testimony with the din that you need both guys to be made together to produce the result of Adam Zomim. Because once you say you need both brothers to test, you need that each brother needs the other brother's testimony for himself to be an Eid Zomim, then it means to say that he will be killed via his brother's testimony, which violates the din of Lo Yumasu Avos Al Banam, or Banam Al Banam. It's a very convoluted argument, though. Take, do you see Rava's case? Okay, I'll just give you, saw the case?
Yeah.
Did you get it?
I think so.
I'll just give you the case, Bekitzer, it's like this. There's a halacha called chazaka. We've mentioned chazaka a few times already, right? So if I want to prove that I own a piece of land, I don't have to have the deed, right? It's also, it's enough for me to produce Adam that I ate on the, that I ate the fruits of the land for three consecutive years. Okay, so if the guy doesn't protest for 3 years while I'm openly eating the fruits off of the land, I'm believed to have bought it. My claim that I bought it is believed. It is not adverse possession. It is not saying that eating for 3 years makes you the owner. It's just a raya that you bought it and you lost the shtar. The guy has to say, I bought it. And then when we say to him, well, where's your shtar? He says, I lost it, but here's my proof because I've been eating here for 3 years. So if I hadn't bought it, why didn't this guy kick me off 3 years ago? But you can't just say, I never bought it, but I'm eating here for 3 years and that's why it's mine. It's chazaka is a raya to the claim that you bought it. It is not the establishment of ownership. A very big misconception. So, 1 second. So now, let's say I claim to own a piece of property, and I have Adam now who establish that I ate there for 3 years. Okay? So, let's say I only had Adam that established I was there for 2 years. Would I win my case? No. So I need the Adam to establish the full 3 year span. Now let's say I have Aaron and Yonah testify about year one, and then Daniel and Yonah testify about year two, and then Menachem and Yonah testify about year three. Those are his two brothers. Okay. Did I skip?
Yehuda.
Okay. So now it turns out that three brothers are substantiating my claim of ownership. Okay. And the Mishnah says that what? That that's okay. That's good. Right?
But
they're achas lahazama. Hold on. They're achas lahazama. So now Avi and Matt come in and say, "You four guys were never there. You were in South America for the past 5 years, right? We know that. So then it would turn out we're being mazim. They're being mazim. Three brothers, right? On one." Edus, that each one needed the other two to establish. Because each one of the three sets of Edim are establishing one claim of Chazaka. So it turns out you are all three really need each other. Each set needs the other. And yet we don't say that that's a problem of one brother convicting the other with his testimony.
You don't say the three separate claims? Separate
no, claim. No, it's not three separate claims. It's one claim, and I need to prove it from three sets of Adam. But then it turns out that the fact that Adam need each other doesn't make it like they're convicting each other through the Azama. In other words, they're not testifying against their brothers. It just happens to be a test. Rava says the Hazama comes me'alma, comes from an external source. You don't say the brother is convicting his brother because he testified and his testimony was necessary for him to have Hazama.